is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Well, some finger pointing going on now that the Democratic memo has not been released. You saw this game coming from 1,000 miles away. Democrats put together a 10-page response to the Devin Nunes memo. And they put all sorts of things in there that you just knew were going to have to be redacted and taken out. And so therefore, the Democrats say, well, you see, there it is. The Republicans are trying to hide their misdeeds, their bad behavior and so forth. And it was nothing more than politics. I mean, you get that. Everybody gets that. Honest people get that. But the Republicans say they're ready to release the Democratic memo. In fact, they would like to. White House saying the very same thing. Time to put it out there. Let them have it. He's, you know, says Donald Trump. I'll get to a couple of new things here in a moment, but from Judicial Watch comes this. The Obama administration was attempting to disseminate material widely across the government in order to aid in future investigations, so wrote the Baltimore Sun. And Judicial Watch releasing 42 pages of redacted State Department documents containing classified information that was provided to Senator Ben Cardin, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, outspoken critic of President Donald Trump. The document showing Russian political interference in elections and politics in countries across Europe. According to a March 2017 report in the Baltimore Sun, Maryland Senator Ben Cardin received classified information about Russia's involvement in the elections when the Obama administration was attempting to disseminate that material widely across the government in order to aid in future investigations, according to that report. Obama officials were concerned, according to the report of the New York Times, that the Trump administration would cover up intelligence once power changed hands. Well, actually, what they were concerned about is that Trump would find out exactly what was going on. And isn't it incredible to think that the Russians, I mean, let's take the Democratic charge at face value, all right? Let's just take the Democratic charge at face value that the Russians interfered and they helped with Donald Trump, and that the dossier somewhere the smoking gun of some sort will be revealed, because there's nothing so far, but something will be revealed that will show that Donald Trump and his campaign were closely tied to the Russians, and the Russians were involved with the 2016 election, and that's what swung the election. And isn't it incredible? The Russians are so incredibly talented that they could predict the outcome of the Electoral College and still lose the popular vote to Hillary Clinton. Now, that is amazing. How good are they, huh? That they could swing the election in America and not even win the popular vote. I mean, that's what they would have you believe. Utter nonsense, and you know it, and so do I. Meanwhile, the thing that concerns me more than all that is the reckless spending that is underway. $400 billion in new spending approved last week when the president signed this new two-year spending deal into place. $400 billion in new spending, the removal of spending caps, the increase of deficits, and therefore piling on of debt on top of $20.6 trillion. Now, how is it that when Republicans run for office, they're always concerned about debt and deficits and so on and so forth, but when they get there, we just can't do anything, you know, we just can't do anything because the Democrats. Well, then get rid of the 60-vote tier. Get rid of that 60-vote requirement and make it so, I mean, that's what the Democrats are going to do next time around. The nuclear option is coming next time around, guarantee you. The next time the Democrats are in charge of the Senate but don't have 60 votes, they'll make it so 51 votes works. You watch. 100% lock. But the White House today, on top of all of that, is going to propose a $1.5 trillion infrastructure package that is aimed at overhauling U.S. public works. Four goals here. To generate $1.5 trillion for the proposal, streamline the permitting process down to just 2 years or less, invest in rural infrastructure, and advance workforce training. These are all aims of this $1.5 trillion deal. The current system is fundamentally broken, so says the administration, and we're investing in our infrastructure. We have a permitting process that takes so long that even when funds are adequate, it can take a decade to build critical infrastructure. Now that's true. The Alcan, the highway across Canada, was built in 10 months across the worst muskeg swamp nonsense in World War II because we needed it, most of which was during brutal winter conditions. They built a highway from Alaska all the way through Canada and down to the United States in case of an invasion in World War II. And it was done in less than a year. Today, you can't even get started in less than a year. You can submit some permitting initial forms, and that's about as far as you'll get. Now, the Trump administration is hoping that $200 billion will begin with direct federal funding of the package, which will be included in the White House and the spending blueprint they put forth for 2019. That's supposed to happen today. Half of the federal seed money would go toward an incentive program to match financing from state and local governments, while a quarter of the appropriations would be used for rural projects in the form of block grants to states so governors may decide where they should invest the money. Think of places like the UP. $20 billion is for a transformative program meant for new projects rather than rehabbing old infrastructure, while another $20 billion is for the expansion of loans and private activity bonds, a common tool used to fund infrastructure projects. And the last $10 billion would go into, capital financing. The allotted $200 billion comes from cuts to programs, including the Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery Grants, Tiger Grants. The White House said it made the cuts where infrastructure funds haven't been spent effectively. It says time to spend the money effectively. My concern, of course, through all of this is the same as it always is. Who's going to pay for it? How's it going to get paid for? How do we end up on the hook for this? Because you just know we're going to. The road to hell was paved with good intentions. And this time, the road to hell might be paved with brand new infrastructure and good intentions and $1.5 trillion. You know, what did we spend in Iraq and Afghanistan? $7 trillion total? Is that the number I've read somewhere? Think about all the money we spent there. If we had just gone in, done the job, pounded the enemy into oblivion, and moved on, it would not have cost us nearly $7 trillion, now would it? Just a thought. This part of the program brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company, serving Michigan since 1947. Locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. That's WolverineWaterSystems.com. Tell them Steve sent you. We'll be right back.